Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, Chris? How are you? Happy iOS 12 Eve.
It is iOS 12 Eve. More importantly, Siri Shortcuts Eve. I'm very excited. It's going to be a happy day. I'm honestly looking forward more to this than my birthday or Christmas or whatever. Like, I'm really excited about this.
So, yeah, to kind of address the elephant in the room, we're kind of recording this on the day before iOS 12 comes out. This episode will be out on the Friday after it comes out. So, it's kind of a weird point in time that we're doing this, but I think it's actually going to be a good place for us to kind of get our feelings on iOS 12 out before we get our hands on it and start playing around with things with the official release. Because you and I have been on the betas for a few months now. I've been on since public beta 1. You've been on since what? Developer beta 1, right?
Yeah, dev beta 1. As soon as everybody said, "Hey, it's fine," I just went for it. So. But neither of us have shortcuts too. No. So the shortcuts app, that is. So that's kind of the exciting thing that I'm super, super into.
Yeah.
That I'm really, really kind of looking forward to. But before all that, this last week, I've been really wanting to work on my app. And as you remember, I don't have my MacBook Pro anymore.
Mm-hmm. So how's that work for you? Like, how does that?
It's not. I'm trying to kind of like hack my way through Swift Playgrounds and stuff because my app was 100% Swift. So I'm kind of trying to hack my way through Swift Playgrounds, but I think somebody's forgetting Swift Playgrounds exists because boy, is it buggy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's bad. I've had multiple crashes. It's pretty bad. So I was just using one of those blank canvases in Swift Playgrounds, and I was trying to like just play around with some stuff and hack my way through it, but it's totally not working.
Interesting.
It's not that I regret getting rid of my MacBook Pro. I just really wish there was a way for me to work on my app on my iPad right now because there isn't.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when I think of Swift Playgrounds, I always think of it as a way to learn Swift, not a way to build apps. Like, is it catered to people that want to build apps within Swift, or is this just kind of your way of working around the fact that you have no MacBook?
Playgrounds. So Swift Playgrounds is absolutely 100% meant for learning Swift.
Okay.
Playgrounds is a thing that actually started off in Xcode, and Playgrounds is basically a blank sheet that you can just kind of write code and see what happens, and you can kind of just mess around and play with things. Mm-hmm. And that ability is in Swift Playgrounds. It's, you just get a blank sheet and you can write hello world and do all that, you know, the pretty basic stuff. You can't build out a full-fledged Xcode project. Mm-hmm. But I was just kind of playing around with some ideas that I had. And it's not working. So I'm back on the train of, please, Apple, please, please, please give me Xcode. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I was like, what would be a better place to launch it? WWDC or the iPad Pro event? And I think it could go either or, just depending on when it's ready. So there could be, you know, if elephant in the room, we did not get the iPad Pros at the Apple event that was just this last week.
Yeah.
I was very upset with that. I was doing some heavy denial and some heavy bargaining before the before the event, and it was pretty bad. I was ready to make a deal with the devil to get that to happen, but it did not. So hopefully there's an event in October with iPad Pros. Mm-hmm. If there's not, I guess we're probably going to wait till spring or summer of next year, which would not be fun.
No.
But yeah, I guess we should briefly talk about the Apple event. I mean, there's not really – I don't want to spend more than, what do you think, 5 minutes on it?
Sure.
Like, I really don't have anything to say on it. And I know every other podcast has talked about it, and we're the last one to it. In fact, we'll do this. If you're tired of listening about the Apple event, we'll put in a chapter marker right here so you can just and to the next spot so you can just skip over it if you're tired of hearing about it. Fair enough?
Fair enough. I don't know about you. I mean – We talked about this briefly before we started recording, but like this Apple event, it's nice to see new iPhones come out and everything, but I felt like
Jeff,
this...
hold on 1 second. I'm going to interrupt you right there. We have to go do 3 game demos.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was, I mean, if this wasn't, if we took away the demos, I think this keynote would have been less than an hour long.
They didn't even hit the 2 hour mark. It
No.
was an hour and 45 minutes. It was two products, the iPhone, the Apple Watch, neither of which I'm buying because honestly, I have my Apple Watch Series 3 and my iPhone 10, which are both great devices still. Mm-hmm. there's nothing I feel like I'm missing out on. It's weird. This is like the first Apple event that I don't have like any FOMO coming out of. Like I didn't even watch the whole Apple event. I probably only watched about 60% of it because I got bored. Like they kept doing like they went on. Like, I love the processor talk. I love that stuff. They went on way too long this time. And looking at the Geekbench scores, it's really not that impressive of a jump. It's 6 cores just like the previous one. They didn't even change the name, which was weird. I don't really get that. It's still Bionic. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. I didn't order anything. I'm not super excited. If you didn't have an iPhone 10 or if you don't have an Apple Watch Series 3, I could see this being a very, very interesting event for you. Mm-hmm. I have both of those. Not really super excited. I don't really review phones or Apple Watches or anything on my YouTube channel or even on here. In fact, I did a YouTube live deal after the event, and I just asked if people were, you know, curious about if they'd want me to do a review of the iPhone, and I got no. People said no. There's too many reviews already. So I'm like, okay, fair enough. I'll walk away. Yeah. But what did you think? I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I thought it was a funny joke.
No, it's all good. I mean, the phones are cool. I just got my 10. I'm still happy with my purchase even after these new phones are announced. The 10S, the 10S Max, and the 10R all look like great phones for someone that has an 8 or even an 8 plus or a 7 or, you know, anything lower than that. They should get a new phone, in my opinion. But I think that those phones will be great for most people, and I can't really say anything bad about the phones. A lot of people are saying that the price points are way too high, but, you know, whatever. Like, the phones are meh for me. The thing that got my attention was the Apple Watch Series 4. See, unlike you, Chris, I have a 10. Unlike you, I don't have a Series 3 watch. I actually have a Series 1 watch.
Oh, okay.
And the Series 4 seems like a great place for me to go next when I want to get a new Apple Watch. I'm not saying I'm going to run out and go buy one tomorrow. I use my Apple Watch primarily as notifications and for a little bit of fitness tracking here and there. But like, I've noticed a lot of bugs and a lot of lag and just like time that just sort of has it spinning and doing nothing, where my notifications won't come in as quickly anymore. My fitness tracking is, I mean, the fitness tracking has always been fine, but like it's just not responsive. It seems to be bogged down a lot, and I don't really know why. I've reset the watch a couple of times, and still nothing seems to be working properly on this thing where I feel like it's actually a computer. It seems more like a wind-up watch that has a couple of electronic features on it, you know? Like, it seems way too slow, in my opinion. And I think I need to get an upgrade. But whether it will be the Series 3 or the Series 4 remains to be seen. I was looking on Apple's website the other day, and the price difference is like $30, I think, not even.
No, it's a much bigger price difference between the Series 3 and the Series 4. Like, it's a couple hundred, or it's like, I think the Series 3 is like $2-something.
No, I don't think they're right. Hold on. Yeah, the 40 millimeter goes for $399. The 44 goes for $429.
Okay, and then what does the Series 3 go for?
The Series 3 goes for $279. So there is a big difference. Okay.
Yeah, I thought there was a much bigger difference because my parents were looking at moving away from their Fitbits to Apple Watches, and I told them to wait because they don't necessarily care about having the latest and greatest tech thing. So they were totally okay getting the Series 3. And with my mom, I think a 38 millimeter watch would be much better for her than the 40 millimeter watch anyway. So the Series 4 does look nice. If I didn't buy my Series 3, when did I buy it? Whenever I bought it, after it came out, I would probably be upgrading to Series 4, but I have the Series 3 LTE, super happy with it, except for the big red dot.
Yeah.
There really isn't a super, super compelling reason for me to move away. I think the interesting thing though that was not talked about but kind of came out of after the Apple event is the iPhone SE is dead. Apple's no longer selling it. Mm-hmm. And as somebody that was making a app, and I've heard the same thing from other developers, designing an interface that worked on an iPhone 8 Plus or now an iPhone XS Max which is a terrible name. The new names are terrible for the iPhone. Hate the names. But designing an interface that works for the iPhone XS Max and the iPhone SE was next to impossible. I pretty much just ignored the SE, and I was like, you know, when I get closer to the end, I'll see if I can figure out something else for the SE.
Yeah.
But I never got to that point. But I was just, I could not figure out how to make it work. Now, and I'm hoping that iOS 13 drops support for that screen size. And then if at that point Xcode for the iPad came out, it would be a lot easier to work on an app for everybody, because the screen sizes are just way too different to design a interface that's supposed to work the same on everything.
Yeah, I never really thought of it in that regard, where you're thinking of it from a developer standpoint to make sure that you have a phone that has a UI that works for a screen size as big as the 8 Plus and as small as the SE. I never really thought of it in that regard, but I think that makes sense, to where it can be kind of difficult to find a way to do that where it's useful for both cases. I feel like the 10 is the perfect size. Like, it's a good one-handed device. I can get to that, you know, when I hold the phone, you know, when the SE came out, the 5 came out, where they were talking about, oh, I can put my thumb all the way to the upper left corner, the upper right corner, the bottom. I can do that with the 10 on my hand with absolutely no problem. And I don't understand why the SE is like, I understand that some people have smaller hands and that some people are not crazy about the bezel-less design, but it's been made very clear by Apple now that that's the design that's going to be the new form factor for every phone that they come out with for the next several years, if not more. And yep. I think that the SE was a great way to accommodate for people that weren't necessarily crazy about the 6 and the 7 and the 8. And I feel like the new phones now will do more than fine in this market if people want to get a new iPhone. And there's going to be an adjustment period where people are not happy with the fact that they have to use their face to unlock their phone as opposed to a home button. But I feel like that is the way of the future for iPad, and for probably their next iPad, for the iPhone and their iPad, and maybe even the Mac down the road. Who knows? But I think that the iPhone SE is kind of done and over with. There's no real need to continue to create, to make this phone, because not many people are buying it. And like, I understand that some people are going to be upset about it, but I think that the 10, the 10S, the 10S Max, and the 10R will find a way to sort of fit everyone's needs and sizes that they prefer.
I think we kind of went over our 5 minutes too, but the other thing, I said two things, and the other thing I was going to say is AirPower is dead. Mm. Like, there's no way it's coming back. It's dead.
That's a bold claim. I think it'll be here.
Here's the thing. If it's been over a year, there's already been rumors, and I think Gruber posted something on Daring Fireball about how he heard from his people that there are major thermal issues with the device, and that even before it was announced, there were people in Apple saying it'll never work, that design can't work, there's too many coils, like it just gets too hot. I know there's one picture on the AirPods page, but if you look at the rest of the AirPods page, that page is super outdated. There's like iPhone 7s on there too. Mm-hmm, so AirPower's dead. I'm calling it now. Rest in peace. I'm really bummed. I wanted that product, but time to move on.
Hopefully you're wrong, but...
Oh, I'd love for me to be wrong. Actually, I really want it, but I'm not wrong on this one. I know it. There's no way I'm wrong.
Yeah, AirPower is dead. What's the other thing you had?
Oh, no, it was just the AirPower was dead and iPhone SE is dead.
Yeah.
Those were my two main things. Those were the two things that I'm not necessarily excited about, but I thought were the most interesting things to come out of the Apple event. Oh, other than multiple timers on HomePod, phone calls, they also didn't really do... I'm actually... I know we went over our 5 minutes, but...
We have a chapter marker. It's okay.
My very last point... I'm really kind of upset, not upset. Upset's the wrong word. I'm bugged. I'm bugged that Apple decided to do three game demos that were incredibly boring on stage. They should have taken one of those game demos off, do a Siri Shortcuts demo.
Yeah.
Because I think that is the biggest feature in iOS 12, and they haven't given it more than 4 minutes of screen time or stage time at WWDC.
Yeah.
So they easily could have taken one of those demos out or even just put on a 10-minute demo of Siri Shortcuts. I think that would have been huge for a lot of people. I think because the iPhone event is definitely way more watched than the WWDC.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would have seen it, been really interested, especially since it's going to be an app you have to go to the App Store and download. It's not going to just be something that appears on the homepage.
Yeah.
And, you know, people go, oh, what's this? And click in and start playing around. I think that kind of bugged me a little bit. I think it was briefly mentioned like at the end, but it was not, it really wasn't anything that was really that exciting. So that kind of bummed me out. That's my last point.
There wasn't even really an iOS 12 overview at all.
I honestly don't remember how they filled an hour and 45 minutes in this keynote because there was nothing. There was not that much there. I mean, the iPhone XR with its colors looks nice. I would love a blue iPhone XS, but oh well, whatever. Let's kind of move away from this. Let's insert our chapter marker here.
Okay.
Let's talk about some stuff we're excited about for iOS 12. So by the time you're listening to this, iOS 12 is out. You've already probably started playing with Siri Shortcuts and stuff like that. And I just kind of, you and I have been both using it over the beta. So I kind of want to talk about how it's been working out for us. I think for me, the biggest thing is it feels like a much smoother and much cleaner release. I haven't come across any major bugs outside of what I found in Swift Playgrounds.
There were a few bugs in the early betas. I can't even remember what specifically, because those bugs that were squashed pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Like there's no real telltale, any like no issues that I can really attest to or anything that I've really noticed in iOS 12. I'm sure there are some, but I mean, honestly, this beta has been incredibly stable. Like I think it was right for us to sort of call this the Snow Leopard update for iOS, you know, like, and I think that it's sort of held true to its name. I feel that things are working better. I think that a lot of the issues with iOS 11 have been squashed, and I think iOS 12 is actually a really, really solid update and a solid release and has been a solid beta since, you know, like beta 3 in public, you know. Maybe even before that. I can't really remember a time where I look at this beta and I go, oh, wait, you know, that's not working correctly, except for, you know, there's an update for iOS 12. Please update your phone to the latest version of iOS 12.
That was just a funny bug. You know, I saw people getting really mad about that bug on Twitter and like calling for whoever was responsible for it to get fired. And I'm like, first off, it's a beta. You agreed to be on the beta. Like, what were you expecting? No bugs at all? Like,
yeah.
If that was the general release, I still don't think anybody deserved to be fired over that. But yeah, whatever. I'm rolling that one off.
I mean, if that's the only problem I have, where for less than 24 hours I get a pop-up notification every time I unlock my phone, so be it. Like, everything still worked.
There were bugs in iOS 11 that were so bad I wasn't able to even make videos on my iPad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was iOS 11 beta was a rough one. So
yeah.
This honestly just feels like a normal general release. I really don't have any big quorums with it.
Mm-mm, no. So what are some of the things that you're excited for with iOS 12 besides the fact that it's a solid OS?
So I think screen time has been kind of an interesting thing, except for the fact that right before we started recording, I got a, like every week you're going to get a notification for those that aren't on that says your weekly report's available and your screen time was either up or down with an average time. And it said my screen time was up 20,000% from last week, which I don't think is true because, I mean, I work a lot. Like I have a full-time job and then I come home and work more, but I don't think I work that much more.
Yeah.
So I think there might be something wrong there. But yeah, okay. We'll go with that.
You've been ultra productive today.
Exactly. But screen time has actually been something that's pretty interesting for me. I checked it a lot when it first came out, when I was first in the beta, and then I kind of forgot about it. And then as iOS 12 was kind of getting closer to its release, I've been checking in on it. I've been looking at apps that I use the most, and I found some kind of habits that I had. I was using Twitter, Tweetbot specifically, Overcast, Slack, YouTube, things like that a lot more than what I needed. And so I tried deleting them off my iPad, thinking, okay, my iPad will just be a productivity and creativity app only place. Like, this is where I work. And then I quickly realized I couldn't do that because I need to be able to tweet about the stuff that I, make, and I need to be able to respond to tweets and gather tweets and stuff when I do Q&As and stuff like that. So I realized that didn't work. Slack, I still needed Slack to do some messaging stuff. Overcast, it's just nice to be able to listen to a podcast through. So what I did is I have one folder on my iPad. If you've seen my video about my iPad home screen setup, you'll know what I'm talking about. I have all my apps on the dock, and then I have one folder, and all the rest of the apps go in there. And most of these apps were either in the dock or on the first page of that folder, so I could see them anytime I looked at the dock. So it was really easy for me to go, oh, hey, Tweetbot, let's go into Twitter. And so what I did is I took all those really distracting apps that Screen Time was saying, hey, you're spending a lot of time on, and I put them on the second page of that folder. So they're still accessible, they're still there, but I don't visually see them. And my time from them has gone down dramatically, the amount that I've used. So if you have apps that are distracting, but you don't feel like you can completely get rid of them, try hiding them.
Yeah.
Because that has been something that's really, really helped me.
Yeah. I do the same with my devices, too. My Twitter app was on my home screen for quite a while, and I noticed with Screen Time as well that I was on Twitter for way too much. And so I actually put a hard limit on how much time I could put on it, which is another thing that Screen Time can do, where you can basically say, hey, once I use this app for X amount of minutes or hours in a day, pop a notification up on my screen where I have to like tap accept to continue using it, or, you know, I have to acknowledge the fact that, hey, I'm already hit my limit for the day. What do you want to do now? Kind of thing. And that's one thing I really enjoy Screen Time for, because when I hit my 30-minute mark on Twitter, I get this screen that basically says, hey, you've been spending a lot of time on Twitter. If it's like in the middle of the day, I realize, oh, I'm not really doing anything worthwhile that's productive. I'm just on social media for God knows how long. So I think that it is something to consider when you do update to iOS 12 to look into with Screen Time. It's helped me a lot. I still have it on my main home screen, but I have that limit. And once you hit that limit, there's actually an icon that shows up next to the text of the app that shows like a timer kind of thing. The Screen Time, icon like shows up there when you hit your limit. So it's a very subtle reminder when I open this app of like, hey, you've been using this a lot, why don't you do something different, why don't you do something more productive with your time? And that's something that I am excited for, and I'm like it's helped me a lot, which I guess kind of dives into other tweaks and things that you can do with notifications.
Before we move on, I tried the Screen Time limit feature, and I just found myself just saying, eh, ignore the limit, just let me have unlimited time today. I would just always hit that, because I'm me, I have an addictive personality, and I don't need anyone telling me I can't do something. Like, I'm going to stick it to the man, Jeff. I'm not going to let the man get me down.
Take that, computer.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to let some computer tell me what to do. So I just found that I just kept saying, nope, give me as much time as I want. So I turned that feature off. I don't have it on anything anymore, but I just hide the apps. And that seems to actually be working a little bit better for me, because I don't have that visual of, oh, yeah, I should just go into Twitter kind of thing. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You were going to talk about notifications.
I think that it's just, there's two ways to kind of deal with that in Screen Time. It works for me to have the timer, but if it doesn't work for you, then hide it. But yeah, the notifications, I was hesitant and like, I didn't really think that this new notification system was going to work well. Let me back up for a second. So there's like two or three things with the new notification system now is that they are sorted by app now and they come in like stacks, I think is what they call it. Mm-hmm. And so like each app has a stack of notifications. So if you get a bunch of notifications from Twitter, it shows them in like a stack kind of format. And then under that, it has other app notifications you get like messages or email or what have you. That I really enjoy from the moment that I updated to iOS 12 beta. The other thing that I haven't really done too much with until recently was editing the notifications on the fly, where you can go into the notification settings and change how often you want to see these notifications, what kind of notifications you want for this specific app that you're getting notified for, and things like that. You could do that all right in your lock screen or your notification center, where you just swipe over and tap like settings, I think it's what, or something along those lines, or manage notification. And you can go in and change a bunch of different things that you can do with those notifications you're getting. And that was something that I didn't really deal with too much. Like I just sort of let that go. But once I finally did go in and like, cause I was getting a bunch of notifications from Twitter. The one thing I do on Twitter is I follow a lot of people and I actually want to see when they tweet. And with the official Twitter app, you can make it say, give me a notification when this person tweets, and you get a notification every time someone tweets. When the iPhone event was going on, my phone was blowing up because a lot of the people that I want notifications from when they tweet are also live tweeting these kind of events. So this was kind of the gateway for me to go into what exactly you could do with your modified notification settings. And I was pleasantly surprised by how quick and easy and painless it is to go in and change your notification settings from the notification center, as opposed to going into settings, notifications, and then scrolling through all of the apps to try and find the one app you're trying to change. And it was more of a nightmare to do that than it is just to swipe and edit.
I think the notification system is pretty cool. So the stacks deal is actually kind of cool on a developer perspective, because the developer can kind of pick how they stack. If you have a messaging app, so let's take messages, for instance. If I have a messaging app and I have a group message, so say I have a family group message. So me, my brother, my sister-in-law, my mom, and my dad, we have an iMessage group. We can text all day long. When multiple messages from that group come in, they stack on top of each other. But if you were to text me at the same time, that message would be separate outside of that stack. So it kind of like messages groups via the conversation, not necessarily all messages, notifications stack on top of each other. So that's kind of cool. I actually really like that.
I didn't realize that was a thing. Like, I always thought that was a bug, because I would get notifications when someone would like at reply me on Twitter, and then all the notifications of when someone would tweet would be on a separate stack. Like, it was so...
Yep.
I didn't realize that that was a thing. And now it makes perfect sense. I thought that was like a weird kind of notification bug or something with the Twitter app that needs to be updated for iOS 12 or whatever, but it actually seems like it's a feature, not a bug.
So I don't have Twitter notifications on for anything except DMs. Cause I don't want to be bugged by that all day long. So I like, it allows me to kind of keep those DM conversations separate. It also allows you to do just like a lot of different really cool things. So you can kind of just like, okay, if I want to reply to my family, but I don't want to reply to Jeff right now, I can just swipe in and look at the family conversation. I don't have to look at Jeff's messages right now. Which is, I think, kind of a plus, so you can kind of just focus on the stuff that needs to be taken care of, and you can leave the other stuff alone.
Yeah.
There's also the managing notifications on the fly, I think, is pretty cool for people that have that habit of just hitting allow anytime that notification message dialog pops mm-hmm, up. Mm-hmm. I have the habit of anytime that notification dialog box pops up, I hit no.
Yeah.
Like for every app, I just hit no. And then I figure out what the app does, what I need the app to do, and does it really need to send me a notification? And if it does, I make sure badges and sounds are off.
Yeah.
Unless it really like, I think the only thing I have badges and sounds on for is messages, phone, and probably things. I think that's just about it. Like I don't want anything else to to alert me. Like it can sit on my home screen, and there's a new option in Notification Center now that says silently notify. So if you do that, or silent delivery, I think is what it's technically called.
Okay.
The lock screen and the Notification Center are two different things. Mm-hmm. So if you do silently deliver, it will show up, but it doesn't make a sound, which is kind of nice. So all your Twitter notifications, you could do that for. So when you just check your phone, you see those, they don't make a sound. They're there.
Indeed.
You can also set stuff to automatically just go to the lock screen. Automatically just go to Notification Center. So it won't show up on the lock screen. So I do this with news alerts because I don't really watch the news. I don't really go and read news websites, but I do want to know what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. So I actually kind of like the Apple News app. So on my iPhone and my iPhone only, I have push notifications on for it, but they are silent and they only go to Notification Center. So if I pick up my phone first thing in the morning, I'm not hit with a bunch of news updates,
yeah,
which is really nice.
That's something that I need to reconsider once I put the official release back on my phone. Like right now I actually downgraded back to 11.4.1 just so I can put a clean install of iOS 12 on. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But once that happens, I think I'm going to really rethink how I handle my notifications, because like everything is, if my notifications are on, my notifications are on for everything. But you know, I get notifications both in lock screen, in Notification Center, as banner. Like it's kind of a mess right now. Like I don't even like to admit the fact that like it's that crazy with how I handle my notifications right now. It's just something that I sort of put on the back burner and haven't really looked into enough to really reconsider how I want to see my notifications and where I want things to go. And I think that that is a handy feature to have, to where my important stuff like messages and DMs and things that are critical for me to respond to as fast as possible that need to be handled, and those will show up in my lock screen and as banners and maybe even badges depending on what they are. And then the rest of it can just go to my Notification Center and basically be another inbox for me to deal with stuff later on. And I can just swipe and clear, or even just clear all eventually, where I can, keep the less important things away from my most important things and kind of keep things a little bit more granular.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point. I like these new notification improvements. I think it's going to be, for people that aren't kind of like me, that are really heavy-handed about what's allowed and what's not allowed, I think this will be a huge improvement to the way things are handled for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So let's get to the big thing. Let's get to what I think is the biggest deal in iOS 12, Siri shortcuts.
Oh, I thought you were going to say stocks.
Oh, I forgot about stocks for the iPad. Oh, and the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
You even have it on that other device you have.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah. Yeah. The
that other thing that mm-hmm. I know you're bummed you bought, you know, because you really want that new iPad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's coming in October.
Yeah,
absolutely. So Siri shortcuts, which is not on the Mac, by the way. So, you know, another reason why the iPad's better than the Mac. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So Siri shortcuts is kind of interesting. So there's a few parts to it. So let's tackle the notification part of Siri shortcuts.
Okay.
So this is kind of cool. So yesterday, I'll use an example. I had to work a little bit yesterday at my day job, and my brother called me, and I was kind of in the middle of stuff, so I didn't answer, and I just let it ring. I didn't hang up on him or anything. I let it ring.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a missed call from him, and I kept working, and I forgot about it. About an hour later, I got a notification on my home screen, on the lock screen, when you just tap on the screen, that screen right there. That said, Siri shortcut suggestion, call brother at like 11:59 or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like that's pretty handy. So like it'll remind you to do things that you've missed. So like reminders or calendar events or things like that. Like that's kind of cool. So that's basically part of notifications, but like if you dismiss it or whatever, but you don't actually go in and clear the badge or whatever, it'll actually come back and remind you to do that a little later. Mm-hmm. So that's one part of Siri shortcuts. The other part is suggested shortcuts. Now, this is the part that's been in iOS 12 that everyone's had. And I'm kind of curious, have you been playing with the suggested shortcuts feature?
Not really. Like, there are a few things that I built. Like, one, like, I, just because I thought it'd be fun, my first series suggestion thing that I kind of built was, like, when you go to certain websites, it'll show up in series shortcuts. So my website, tablethabit.com, showed up, and I created a series shortcut for that to basically say, hey, Dingus, take me to my website, and it would just open up Safari and go to tablethabit.com, which I thought was funny. And that was kind of the only thing I've done with it so far. I mean, I'm sure I, like, to be completely honest with you, I've actually kind of not caught up on my research with Siri shortcuts as much as I would like to. So this is actually a way for me to kind of be informed on what I can actually get with Siri shortcuts, both with the Siri suggestions and the actual shortcuts app from you, and a few other people. Like, David Sparks created a field guide that I have, and I am going to go into much more in depth later on today and tomorrow when the iOS 12 is released and I can get my hands on shortcuts and play around with it. But for all intents and purposes, like, I haven't done too much with the Siri suggestions or anything with the app because I haven't had a chance to look at it and even read too much about it, just because it's sort of been off my, not off my radar, but kind of on my lower end of my priorities right now. So,
okay.
So, I mean, like, I think that you know way more about this than I do because you've been keeping tabs on it way more than I have. And so I kind of want, like, I'm kind of giving you the floor here with a lot of this.
Then I will be your Sherpa.
Okay.
So let's talk about a few places you can go to learn more before we get too far into
okay.
it. So either Monday or Tuesday, I will have a video up introducing Siri shortcuts
okay.
and all the parts. And so you can visually see it. We'll make sure links in the show notes.
Yeah.
I will also have, I'm also working on a few other videos for Siri shortcuts, and I was kind of waiting till everything came out, got the hands on the app and things like that. I'm going to work on some advanced programming stuff, some working with like stuff with very specific apps, like things, drafts, stuff like that. If you're curious about like stuff you want to do with, Siri shortcuts, tweet at me. I'm at Chris_Lawley, LAWLEY. And I'm going to be putting together a bunch of different stuff for these videos. So that's my part. So if you want to learn more and you're more of a visual person and you need to see what's going on, you can go to my YouTube channel. It's all there. The other thing is Matthew Casanelli, who was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing a YouTube channel as well, and he's doing a Siri shortcuts video as well. So that should be out before this this episode. So if it is, we'll make sure there's a link in the show notes for that as well.
We'll just put a link to his YouTube channel in general.
Yeah, we'll link to his YouTube channel either way, even if it's not out for some reason, but he said it'd be out Monday.
Yeah,
so as long as we'll make sure a link of some sort is there. The other thing you already mentioned is David Sparks did a field guide. So the field guides are typically something you pay for. I'm not sure how much he's charging for this one. I have it bookmarked and I haven't actually looked into it just yet. I've been super busy and I just haven't had a chance to, but I definitely plan on it. So typically they're something you pay for, but they're very good and they're very detailed. So I would definitely, like, if you're wanting to get super advanced into that, I would look into that.
Just a quick update. It's $24. You can get it. So
that's awesome. Like, yeah, if you're really, the amount of time Siri shortcuts can save you in the long run, $24 is totally worth
it. And I've looked at his field guide. It's super in depth. Like, there's a ton of, like, I'm honestly surprised he's not selling this for 40. I'm glad that he's doing it for much cheaper, but like, he could do this for way more. And, don't tell him I said that. But like, it's well worth it. David does really good field guides. I've bought almost every field guide he's made, and this one seems to be super in depth. And he's using Teachable now for all of his field guides and stuff. So they're all broken up into specific chapters. It's a very beautiful way that he kind of broke things down, and they're very, very digestible. They're like less than 5 minutes a video, but there's, I think, like 40 videos or something like that. Like, there's a ton of stuff you can learn about that.
Okay, so that's kind of like the visual places that you can also learn. And another one is the Automators podcast with Rosemary Orchard, who was on the show, and David Sparks, who we just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of the places right now that I would go and look. Oh, and as well as Max Joyce. I can't believe I forgot that one. I'm sure Federico Vitici will have a big write-up in his iOS 12 review.
Yeah, I think one of us needs to have a roundup of where everybody can go learn more about shortcuts. In fact, I probably will
We will have a special section in the show notes about all the places you can go for shortcuts and places you can learn.
Yeah.
But let's kind of get into it on the podcast here.
Lead the way, Chris.
So suggested shortcuts are the things that as you work through an app and the app supports what's called NS User Activity. Now, NS User Activity is an older API. It's been around since, I believe, iOS 9. It's the thing when you go into Spotlight and you go like you type new draft and you have Drafts 5 installed, you'll see it right there. You can tap on it and it'll open up drafts and it'll open up a new draft for you to just start typing in. So that's NS User Activity. So if an app supports that already with the function supporting that, so again, new draft or new task and things or something like that, you will see it as you start to use them, and you have to use them after iOS 12 is installed because the system will kind of capture that. Go into settings, go into Siri, and then go into shortcuts, and you'll see a list of a bunch of stuff there, and you'll see apps listed. There's a button right next to the app that says see all. You can hit that. You'll see all the functions that are supported. You can tap on one of those, and then from there, you can assign a shortcut. So normally what will happen, since Siri is very voice-based, you say your shortcut. Now, I have typed a Siri on my iPad, so I would type what I want the shortcut to be. So for new draft, I just signed it new doc.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of simple, kind of straightforward, new document. That's really great. For things, I have new task. And now when I type new task, I get a new task up. I type what I want. It's good to go.
Cool.
So that's kind of the suggested shortcuts. They're very simple. They're just one action step. There's HomeKit support. There's all sorts of things in there. Start there. I recommend everybody starts there. You kind of get the feel of very basic automation.
Okay.
Now, the Siri Shortcuts app is the replacement for Workflow. As of the time of recording this, again, we're recording this the day before iOS 12. We're not sure if Workflow is going to go away the same day, but what we do know is all of your workflows that are in the Workflow app will be moved over to Siri Shortcuts. So you don't have to worry about losing anything. Everyone on the beta is confirmed. It all works. The thing that we were kind of worried about for a while is in the early betas, there was no Dropbox support. In fact, if you listen to our episode with Rosemary Orchard, that was one of the things we talked about as working our way around that. Good news, in the GM version, which was just released this last week, there is now Dropbox support and Siri Shortcuts. So we can all kind of breathe over.
Okay, I did not know that. I was wondering where you were going with this. Okay, that's huge for everything that I do with Workflow. That's huge.
Very huge. I was getting very nervous about what I was going to do. I was getting kind of nervous about that one.
Yeah.
It's there. We're good. We can all breathe easy now. So I'm very excited about that. So there is Siri shortcut support. It works very, very similar to Workflow that you have basically, I'm not, do they call them widgets? What do they call the action blocks? Blocks? Do you know what they're technically called, Jeff?
I think they're called actions.
Okay. So there's just like the list of actions, just like there is in Workflow. You pick from them. Pretty much everything that is in Workflow is there. I think there's a few minor things like IFTTT support isn't there. Not the end of the world. Majority of the stuff is there. So we can all kind of breathe easy there.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, when Apple bought it, I wasn't expecting this to happen. No, so I'm very happy.
No, I was expecting it to be absorbed and basically dead.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this at length before. You know, I can't say more. I can't say enough about the fact that Apple did more than the right thing when it came to the Workflow team and then putting it into Siri Shortcuts and basically making Workflow that much more powerful.
Yes.
So you've mentioned a lot of things that are very similar. Like, where are the big differences? Are there any like huge differences that you kind of have with this?
So just like suggested shortcuts, you can also, in Siri Shortcuts, the app, you can also, when you make a shortcut, you can also add it to Siri. So there's a button in there that you can record a little voice shortcut so you can trigger a actual like Workflow shortcut through Siri as well, not just the suggested Siri shortcuts.
Okay.
So that's kind of a huge thing. So you basically, you can make your own customized personal Siri now. And then with devices like your Apple Watch, HomePod, even CarPlay, those all, since they, you know, they're tethered to your phone and things like that, they all grab shortcuts from there because Shortcuts is now in iCloud. everything. So if I'm driving home and I have CarPlay, I could say, you know, Dingus headed home, and it could start playing the podcast I want to play. It could give me GPS directions home, though I don't know why I'd want GPS directions home from my whatever. It could.
You could be a traveling salesman.
Exactly. I could be, you know, two towns over. Exactly. And it'd give me directions home. It could turn on my AC. It could turn on my lights. All from those things, from just me saying, telling Siri just to do that. No more having to go into the widget and trigger things, or go into the app and trigger things. Though the widget is still there, you can still trigger things from the app. It's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. The other thing too, which this was in workflow, is there is the gallery. And I'm really excited for this, but what I want to see from the gallery is I don't think we'll get it. I want to see Apple open it up to get workflows. I'm sorry, shortcuts. I'm going to be messing that up a lot. To get shortcuts from users and basically curate those. So we kind of get a wider range. Because right now, what I was kind of looking at through screenshots and stuff of the gallery, it's a lot of like, here's some Apple Music stuff. Here's some GPS stuff. Like it's, I think where shortcuts is going to be really, really cool is in the hands of the users and people that use it, and people that have different things they do in their life that need the ability to kind of do stuff differently than the average typical Silicon Valley person.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked a lot. Do you have questions about Siri shortcuts that I might be able to answer?
I do, but before we do that, there is a website that kind of is what you're looking for as far as like a gallery. Like,
yeah, I was just looking for something that was native in,
right,
in
right,
the app.
Right.
But yeah, there is the what's it called? Is it called Sharecuts or yep. What is it called?
Yeah, if you go to sharecuts.app, it's a website by Mr. Rambo. I can't pronounce this word. I think it's Guilherme. Rambo?
Guillermo Rambo.
Yep, yep. And he has a website that has a bunch of user-created Siri shortcuts that have been put on this website. Matthew Castanelli has a bunch. Rosemary Orchard has a bunch. Federica Vitici has a bunch. You know, people that you might have heard of. Jason Snell has one on here. A bunch of other people that are, you know, big into the Siri shortcuts game right now have also got their things in there, and they seem to be a decent place for you to look as far as like other things that can be available. You know, there's one to publish right to Medium, or to get the Bitcoin price currently, or convert a PDF from a markdown text, and you know, toggle timers, flight time, bunch of things here that are actually pretty powerful, that are interesting, that are worth looking into. There's not a lot there right now, but I'm assuming once it becomes much more available for users and no longer in beta, that this thing will be much, much bigger. But it's a good place to start as well, which will also be in the roundup of all of the places you can go to learn about shortcuts.
So I've said this before, and I cannot stress this enough. If you are just starting off with Siri shortcuts and you never used workflow before, or you were never really heavily into it, or you're not really a big programmer, find shortcuts that look interesting to you, that do something that are kind of maybe 75 to 80% of the way there for you. Mm-hmm. Take them, get them, modify them, make them work for you. Just look at them. It's kind of like a logic puzzle. And feel free to ask for help. Like, I'll be on Twitter. You're more than welcome to ask me. I'm definitely not the biggest expert on it. Like, you know, we had Rosemary Orchard, Matthew Castanelli, we mentioned Federico Vitici. They're all a heck of a lot smarter than me when it comes to this stuff. But if I can help, I'll be more than happy to help where I can.
Yeah.
I would definitely cannot stress this enough. Get other people's shortcuts and just start modifying them, because that is the best place to start. You'll see how shortcuts works. You'll see how it kind of all works together, and then you can kind of go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I did when I first started using workflow. And as you said, this is a lot like the workflow app. So anyone that has used workflow before can kind of hit the ground running a little bit and have a.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm excited to sort of see the new actions that are put in place with this that I can kind of implement or add to current shortcuts or workflows that I have. And I'm excited to sort of do that as well. And I don't know about you, Chris, but like one thing that I learned when I was first getting into automation and things like that was it was kind of difficult for me to come up with things that I wanted to automate until I you know, realize that, oh, I'm doing a lot of really tedious things that I could probably do in one tap as opposed to 30. And like, that's kind of where my brain started working of like, this is how I could do things. And then there was another instance where, you know, if I'm going from one app to another, to another, to another, to do all these different things, I tried to find a way to create shortcut or workflows, shortcuts, whatever you want to call them now, and build them in the app. And then I was able to use that as a means to get most of the things that I wanted done in way less time and less effort, where the automated process was very, very, profound in my workflows and my, the way I did my work. Like that could be the best advice if anyone was asking of like, how do I get started with this kind of thing? Or how can I learn what to automate? Just think of the things that you're doing and see if you can go from 10 steps to 5 steps. You know, like if you can do that and it's something that you do a lot, that could save you a bunch of time and a bunch of hassle.
Yes, absolutely. I think Siri Shortcuts is all about saving time. If I could sum it up into like a one sentence sales pitch, It's all about saving you time and making your life easier. But now that's, well, I guess that's one sentence. But anyways, so do you have any questions for me about Siri Shortcuts, or do you want to kind of move on to our next thing?
I mean, is the building process pretty similar to workflow when it comes to using the app itself, where you have basically different actions that you can drag in or select and use them as kind of like building blocks for Legos and things like that? Does it have all of that? Does it have things like if statements and count and like bunch of other, like this is very, very into the weeds. So if you aren't familiar with what we're talking about.
Oh, no, let's do it. No, all the scripting language stuff, that was the stuff that I was most worried about, that it would get dropped because Apple would be, no, this is too advanced. Like, we don't want this. No, all the scripting language stuff is there. If statements, variables, magic variables are still in there, which I am so happy about. For those that don't know, magic variables. So in a typical any programming language, you have variables, and this is what you set things to. In fact, I have a workflow video that's all about magic variables too. So we can put that in the show notes as well. I can get you.
This roundup list is going to be huge.
Yeah. Shortcuts and workflow is definitely one of those things. It's a lot easier to learn if you can visually see about it. That's why I'm kind of talking about it in a very high level approach, not getting too much into the weeds.
Sure.
But basically, variables are something every programming language has. And normally, before in workflow, you had to make your action, you had to set your variable, then you could do all that stuff. Now, what you do is you just make your action, hit the magic variable button, and then you select that action, and that now becomes your variable in whatever other instance that you use. So that's kind of cool. I really like magic variables. It makes shortcuts or workflows, whatever, a lot easier and a lot smaller. So it's a lot easier to read over time, especially because it's not a lot of programming jargon. But all that stuff, all the scripting stuff is still there. I'm very excited about that. I have some ideas that I'm really excited for. I do want to hear from you guys as well, if I can address the audience for just a minute. I do want to hear from you guys. So if you have stuff you want to see, please get in touch with me on Twitter. And I will try my hardest to get that stuff working for you in a video. I want to have a lot of different examples. And if I just do stuff that I just want to do, or stuff that just works for me, it'll be a lot of like, here's stuff that I use for video editing. Here's stuff I use for podcast editing. And I know that's not what a majority of people do. So
sure.
I do want to hear from you guys. So I very much, if you guys have something that you want to do, get in touch with me, and I'll try my hardest to make that to work.
Yeah, and if you have any questions for the show or whatever, like this is a great time for Q&A with the new iOS update coming out and things like that, especially with shortcuts or even anything else that's not specifically around the shortcuts app. Like, you can ask us questions and we'll happily answer them on the show or in private if it's more personal and something that you're looking to get help with. That's on Twitter at A Slab of Glass. You can email us as well. The email address will be in the show notes and where you can get a hold of us and everything else. Like, feel free to ask us as many questions as you want. This isn't a one ticket per item kind of thing. Like, feel free to just fill us up with as many questions as you want, and we'll be happy to get into them and see if you have any questions for us about iOS 12 or anything that we've talked about previous on the show as well. So get a hold of us if you can. So Chris, I have one question while we're in the midst of talking about iOS 12 is, are you going to update from a backup and kind of continue on with the with the ritual of yours where you just continually just update your device without restoring as new?
Yeah, I kind of have some mixed feelings about this. So I come from old school computing, like Windows 95 era, mm-hmm. when you got a new operating system, you had to wipe your computer and reinstall it. There was no installing over the device. Yep. And for a long time with iOS, I did the same thing. You know, iOS 4 would come out and I'd wipe my device and install and give it a nice clean install. With my iPad, I've never really done that. Going back to what I can probably my iPad Mini 2, maybe even my original iPad, I think going from my original iPad to iPad 3 to iPad Mini 2 to iPad Air 2 to iPad Pro 1 and then now iPad Pro 2, I've always just kind of restored from backup for those devices. And so I have this weird bug right now that it shows under iPad storage, system's taking up 90 gigs, and I have no idea why it's doing that at all.
Huh.
I don't know what's causing that. So I need to wipe it. The problem is I'm in the middle of a bunch of different projects. So I'll be editing this episode of A Slab of Glass. I have like 3 or 4 videos I'm working on. I don't have time, and I'm afraid if I wipe something, I'll lose it. So I think what I need to do is I need to see if I can kind of just push it along for right now, which, I mean, I still have plenty of storage space, and there's still plenty of stuff, but I really need to carve out a day at some point when I have, like, when I'm not editing a podcast, not editing videos, things like that, and I can just wipe it and then go from there. I'm kind of curious, Jeff, what do you do? Do you always start fresh? I know you were kind of talking about doing that with iOS 12. Do you do that in the past, or what have you kind of always done?
I have always started as a new device when a new iOS update comes out, like a big one, not like a 0.1 or 0.2 update, but like iOS 11, iOS 10, iOS 9, and iOS 8. I have all started as a new device where I basically pave, and I start brand new. And I do that for a couple of reasons. The one being to avoid kind of cruft like what you're talking about here where it says system storage is 90 gigs. That seems to be a bug. Like, there's no way that this operating system should be taking up that much space. And that is something that I worry about with, you know, going from one iteration of iOS to another, and like just continually compound on top of one another and have all that kind of cruft and crud come with it. I always start as a brand new device and I always start with a fresh install. I also do it as a way to clean house for me. You know, it's a fall cleaning every time the new operating system comes out for me when it comes to my iPhone and iPad and even my Mac. My Mac, I don't nuke and pave. I update and then continually keep things as clean as I can. And like that's the only exception with this. But for my iPhone and my iPad, I did this today. I removed the beta profiles from both of my devices. I updated it to 11.4.1 and I no longer have any beta software on it. No, like nothing about that. This device is beta anymore. It's standard operating system. And all I've done is installed a list of apps that I've gone through and decided to have on my device from the beginning of the next iOS device. So I am ready to go come tomorrow in the afternoon when iOS 12 is released that I can just download the update, install it, and I'm ready to go. And, you know, that is what I do every time, is that I wipe my devices and just update to the latest operating system a day or two before it comes out. And I go from there. Maybe it's not necessary, but for me, it makes me feel good about where I stand with my computers. And it's something that I think is important for me to really consider about the apps and things that I have on my devices and whether or not they actually have a meaning or a use for me. And if they don't, they go away in the next iOS update. They don't stick around. I delete them. And if I need them again, I have them in my purchase history. I don't have to pay anything extra for them. And anything that was saved is usually in iCloud or Dropbox or something so I can restore that data into that app whenever I need it back. But for all intents and purposes, I nuke and pave every time.
Okay. Yeah, I need to do it. What I might do is wait till like 12.0.1 comes out. So there's a nice clean, you know, bug update. And that way I can kind of get through the busy period of iOS 12, Siri shortcuts coming out. I can get these videos out and hopefully we, you know, everything should be good then. I don't know. We'll see. I know I need to do it. I just need to find time. My biggest fear is Ferrite and LumaFusion, just because neither of those sync their projects up with anything. You can export those projects and then re-import them. But my projects, especially my LumaFusion projects, are so big. I've had issues with doing that in the past. Most of the time it works, but some of the bigger projects didn't work. And this is such kind of a stressful time that I don't really want to deal with that right now.
Sure.
So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. I think what I'll do is I'll wait till 12.0.1 comes out and then I'll wipe it and then fix it. Unless what I may do is if we really do have an October event, I'll just like baby it along, make it work, and then get my new iPad, set that one up as brand new. Mm-hmm. Brand spanking new, and then go from there. Because I don't really want to stress about it right now. Because there's just too much going on. So hopefully there's an October event. Really, really hope there's an October event. Please be an October event. Because I want a new iPad.
What if there isn't one, Chris? What are you going to do then?
Probably buy a 10.5 iPad because I want something new. I need something to play with.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I'm leaning towards the small one right now.
Oh, God. We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
I was leaning towards... When did I text you yesterday? Was it the big one that I was leaning towards? I changed my mind a couple of times yesterday, so I don't even know.
Chris, where can they find you online if you wish to be found?
So you can find me online. My Twitter is @Chris_Lawley. Send all of your shortcut requests there. I would really appreciate it. You can find my website, theuntitledsite.com. That has links to my YouTube site and everything else that's interesting. My Instagram, if you want to see interesting pictures of my iPad taken in weird light. You know, if you like that. Jeff, what about that? Where can people find you?
You can find me over at tablethabit.com or at Twitter. I am Jeff Perry on there, and you can ask me questions about iOS 12 and everything else as well, or, you know, anything iOS or Mac related. Feel free to ask questions and we can do that. And like I said before, you can follow the show at A Slab of Glass on Twitter. Ask us questions there for the show, and you can find other ways to get in contact with us with the show notes as well, and all the roundup stuff will be there. You can do that over at aslabofglass.com/ what episode number is this, Chris? 18?
17, I think.
Okay. You can find it over there at aslabofglass.com/17. So, you know, with that, we appreciate you guys listening, and we'll definitely talk more about iOS 12 next episode. No, we won't, Chris. What's going on next episode? We have a big
episode. Oh, yeah. Ooh, okay. I'm glad you reminded me. I even wrote the note, and I totally forgot about it. So next episode will be our Getting Things Done episode, which I'm really excited about. We have a very special guest. It's going to be a really good discussion. I have not told Jeff. I haven't read the book before, and I have not told Jeff my thoughts at all.
No.
He does not know what I'm going to say going into
it. I've been trying.
He's kind of probed me a little bit. He keeps bringing it up in conversations, and I just won't give him anything. I'll just be like, okay, that's cool. That's nice. So our next episode will be that. So if you want to read that, you can. We are reading the 2015 version. So I would recommend reading it or finding some blog post or something at the very least about summing it up.
Yeah.
That way you kind of know what it is going into it.
There's also some really good podcasts. Like Back to Work has a 5-part series on it. And Merlin Mann did an interview with the author, David Allen. That's an 8-part series that he condensed into like an hour and a half. I'm actually listening to all of those since I've finished reading the book, spoiler alert. Now I'm listening to all of those to get even more in depth on certain things in that aspect. I'll have that in a roundup as well in these show notes. There's so many show notes, Chris. They will all be there and you can find stuff there. If you decide that the book isn't for you, but you can get an audiobook for free if you go to scribd.com. It's not a sponsor. It's just me letting everyone know you can listen to this book for free if you want. That's how I listened to the audiobook. I also read it in paperback at the same time. And, you know, there's definitely ways you can get a hold of this book for free, if not for very little money, and learn a lot about this and kind of get informed before we do this episode. So 2 weeks from the post date of this, we will have an episode out and ready to go for you guys.
Yep. So that's about it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great day.